Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. It's Dallas week, which is far more important than the game we'll recap, even though it was a win and the Eagles do improve to 7-1. Quickly recap that, but it's Dallas week. It's in Philly. It's one of the few big Dak versus Jalen matchups that we've ever seen. Between Dak's injuries and Jalen's, they haven't really matched up every time they've played. So this is exciting in that regard. The records coming out of this game will be a big turning point in the season and in the division and seeding purposes. So, and most important, bragging rights and, you know, Dallas, the rivalry and all that stuff. So we'll get into all that before we get started. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a big week. I'll be honest here. I don't think the Dallas week enthusiasm for me has quite clicked just yet. How about yourself? Does it feel like it's there for you?
It's starting to. I think, you know, I'm listening to more coverage on the game. I'm getting back into my sports podcast routine after taking a few beats after the Phillies loss to take a step away from sports. So back in on the Eagles, back in on the Sixers a bit.
Did you get any catharsis watching the Diamondbacks lose last night?
Well, I didn't watch them, but I saw the final. I mean, I was checking the score 0-0 for a while, and then I checked the score after the fact. So I watched none of the World Series. I watched live. Is it
just too hard to stomach?
Yeah, you have a whole, like, normal weekly routine going during the season, and then when playoffs happen, like, three nights a week you're kind of not doing the things you normally do, so it was nice to catch up on TV or do some other stuff and not have to worry about stressing out for 3 hours. So now I'm doing that only on Eagles game days, and I'm along for the ride for the Sixers and for the Flyers. It's too early in the Flyers season to root for tanking for draft purposes, but they're definitely playing well. And I've watched bits and pieces. I've watched the score, see who's doing well, followed, you know, the beat writers on that, all that. So, slowly getting back into the swing of regular sports with basketball and hockey, but obviously have not gone anywhere with regards to football. I was watching the Titans Steelers briefly before we sat down to record. Terrell Edmonds had a bad route to the running back, which resulted in an extra, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards around the red zone. I think the Steelers ended up scoring on that drive, so farewell to Terrell Edmonds.
Going up against the team that drafted him,
right? Back in Pittsburgh too,
right?
So, yeah, I think it's hitting me. It's Dallas week. I mean, you look at the last few matchups in Philly. I think Dak was hurt last year, so. That was the Cooper Rush game, if I'm not mistaken. Then obviously Jalen was hurt for the Dallas game. That was a Minshew game last year.
Yeah. By this point, you'd think that these two quarterbacks have played each other like a lot of different times, but that's just not the case.
Yeah. The thing with the Phillies and the Braves reminded me of, you know, you have rivals, but you have to, like, win and lose back and, you know, go back and forth. Like I think the Phillies ended up evening the season record against the Braves over the course of the year. But most of the year, I think the Braves had won more often against the Phillies than not. obviously coming off of the playoffs the previous year, and then the Phillies beating them in the playoffs this past year, you have more juice for the rivalry. Like the 49ers, I feel like, have been more of a rival type team recently than Dallas. They haven't played in the playoffs, obviously. This for seeding purposes, the later in the season game most recently it mattered, but it wasn't a must win for the Eagles, so it wasn't like a big deal. And it was Minshew instead of Hurts, so that extra bit of excitement was not there. The Super Bowl, you know, like the Super Bowl year, I think they played each other the last game of the year and it was meaningless and the Cowboys won. But the Eagles already locked up the one seed. I don't remember the year after, but like 2019, 2020, 2021, all those years were the Carson Wentz downfall where they were not good, or they made the playoffs the Nick Foles year. But after that, they had this steady decline. And, you know, Jalen's first year, they did make the playoffs, but it was Jalen's first full season. No one had the expectations to compete with Dallas, all that kind of stuff. So last year, it's really the first year where, like, the rivalry would really start for the Dak versus Jalen of it all. Yeah. And, like, this certainly era of Jalen, Eagles.
Certainly Jalen in, like, his current form.
Right. So this is a big game. You know, the Eagles, if they win, go to 8-1 into the bye and would have a 2-game lead on the then 5-3 Cowboys. Two and a half.
I guess that would – never mind. I think they would be up 2 in the win column. So I still think it would be 2.5. It would either be
– it'd be up 3 in the win column and 2 in the loss column.
Yeah, so 2.5.
Right. So that's a big lead versus, you know, 6-2 and 7-2. Being, I guess that would be a half game up going into the bye. So
riding on it for sure.
So it is a really big game. It's halfway through the year. Like they would have time to recover if they do lose the game, but this begins the gauntlet of at Chiefs, home against Buffalo, home against the 49ers, at Dallas and at Seattle. So those five games are going to say a lot. And this game will, you know, put them in a good spot if they were to win at 8-1 to go into like the next three, let's say. If they do go 1-2, they're still 9-3. So that's not too bad. I don't know. I'm starting to feel the juice. It's Dallas week in Philly, and the stakes are high. I mean, this is the home game of the two, and they have not won in Dallas, I think, for quite some time. So it's a big game from that perspective, puts a lot less pressure on them to win in Dallas, in theory, if they take this game. So a lot of different angles you can look at this game to make it a big game. And Micah Parsons, I think, said Cowboy fans should try to all go to the link and make it like a home game. So that was funny.
Yeah, like there hasn't really been like any sort of public, you know, exchanges, bulletin board, whatever you want to call it. I think everybody at this point, especially after the playoffs, is like, not the NFL, I'm referring to the MLB playoffs, but like it seems like there really hasn't been a lot of kind of public taunting or rabble rousing. So maybe
I don't think that
later in the week.
The Eagles, I mean, they last year with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, there was more comments coming out of the Eagles side. I think Darius Slay maybe has comments and stuff like that. After the Super Bowl, there was a little bit of that, but I feel like it would more come from the Cowboys side if there is any type of trash talk or that kind of thing that happened last year. Obviously, the Cowboys lost to San Francisco and the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl. So maybe they're more focused, or maybe they're not as, they're trying a different type of strategy. I mean, Dak so far has been better with his turnovers than Jalen has. And I don't know that, that the Cowboys one loss to the 49. I mean, I don't know what you feel about the 49ers now that they lost three in a row, but that was obviously not a good performance by Dak. He threw that interception against the Cardinals, but it's obviously a big game, and I just wonder if they're coming in a little less feeling themselves and a little more like with a little more respect, it seems.
Maybe. Let's talk about what happened on the trade deadline or what didn't happen. It seemed like across the league it was relatively quiet, no crazy blockbuster type deals. The Eagles, obviously, they make their move well before the deadline in getting Kevin Byard, but they did make another move, quite a small one, but they trade Kentavious Street, their depth defensive tackle, and a 2025 seventh round pick to the Falcons to get a 2024 sixth round pick. So they make, I believe there's even conditions on that. I think Street has to play at least six remaining games this season, which they're likely, or he's likely to hit. So a small trade, certainly they move up here and up around as long as those conditions are met. I do think if you're looking at their rotation, Street wasn't seeing a lot of snaps. They're quite deep there already. I think this opens up a spot for Julio Jones, who is now a part of the 53-man roster. Presumably, it seems like they're on track to activate, or not activate, but add Cam Jurgens back to the 53 from the IR. They open his 21-day practice window. But going back to the Street trade, that opens up snaps for Ojomo. So that's kind of the flurry of small moves over the past week. Were there any sort of moves that you were hoping to see Howie pull off that he didn't?
I think, I don't know, it's tough. Like, I think this team, as they're constructed now, is pretty solid. The question is if there are injuries or further injuries. They had a pretty, I mean, Street was a pretty good depth guy on the D line. He did see snaps. Like, I saw his number out there a number of times, consistently. So it's not like a Anthony Rush situation where he's barely out there and that kind of thing. So if they like Ojomo, then that's great, and hopefully he'll be a part of the rotation. I think cornerback, running back, those two are kind of depth spots. Like, Gainwell hasn't been that great most of the year, if not all of the year. So if something were to happen to Swift, you do have Penny, obviously, but I don't know how much they prefer Penny. So That's kind of a concern corner. Obviously, if Bradbury or Slay go down, they have a lot of unproven guys. Eli Ricks is getting a lot of buzz. I don't know about Josh Job. Like, I feel like he was the top guy, and now he's sort of fallen out behind Ricks. And
well, I think that's more so at the nickel spot. I still think if Bradbury or Slay,
then it would be Job.
Exit. Yeah, I mean, unless I've missed some sort of development where Ricks is the next man up inside and outside.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
I think Ricks has made his way onto the field only on, like, passing downs in the slot.
Yeah, receiver, obviously, they got Julio Jones, but if someone were to go down, it would be like one of their wide receiver ones, Julio Jones and Zacchaeus. So that's not the best unit. I don't know. I feel like it would have been like fringe pieces. It would have been exciting to get splash guys.
Yeah,
but I mean,
we see what rentals were going for impact players, and it's like, man, we were nowhere near that asking price. So.
Yeah, so I trust Howie and that he didn't overpay and may not have needed to, but I don't know. We'll see. I wasn't disappointed at the deadline that they didn't do anything. It wasn't like the Phillies deadline. I mean, that's different.
I kind of wish they could just say, like, if Howie could just, like, end the morning and be like, we're good.
Yeah.
Just don't get your hopes up for the rest of the afternoon. That's the only sense of disappointment is waiting up and like, oh, there's nothing today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what other spot they would need. They have good O-line depth. Juergens coming back. They have tight ends. I mean, Calcaterra with the concussion, that's something to monitor given his history.
Yeah, maybe we see Albert O.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show they have a lot of depth in other spots. Linebacker would be the other one, but I think they've been fine, if not, you know, solid. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think, like, we know what their commitment is to that position group, and
right, and I safety seems
if they wanted something better, they would have done it in the off season. I don't think now's a good time to pony up,
right,
likely for a rental. So,
and you could argue Byard. I mean,
definitely, like, they made their splash.
They just did that a few days
before the deadline.
Yeah, so as he and Blankenship, you know, get that solid. I mean, Blankenship didn't have a great game against Washington, except for the interception. I guess he did. That kind of redeems things. But there were plenty of completions to, like, McLaurin or wherever, where Blankenship was chasing people down and that kind of thing. So I didn't see Byard at all, which, you know, safety position might be that. That's a good thing. You don't hear much about them, but also didn't have any interceptions. So, unfortunately for our predictions from last week.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this Commanders game real quick, because they end up winning it 38-31. They were down, I believe, 11 at some point in the second quarter or first quarter. So it was really the first time in the season the Eagles were in a hole for an extended period of time. So it's nice that they had, you know, wouldn't really call that an opportunity because they kind of put themselves in a bad spot. But it was nice to see, like, you know, they weren't, like, shaken or anything. It seemed like the team didn't really spiral, which is a good sign. So ultimately it's a comeback, but this is twice over the course of a month that, like, Sam Howell has just picked this team apart.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like
the
concern.
All the, like, top quarterback stats from the week were, you know, it was like 2, 3, 4 was like Tua, Mahomes, or it wasn't Mahomes this week, but it was like Tua, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts in some configuration, and number one for all of them were Sam Howell. So.
Yeah, so I honestly don't know what to make of that. Like, maybe Sam Howell is just, like, decent.
I mean, I think it has a lot to do with Bienemy and Desai. Maybe Desai can't figure out some things Bienemy does, but you go week to week and sometimes the Desai shuts down the other team. So it's kind of like, what, there's a lot of tape now. They played the Commanders twice. So if teams are going to do a similar death by a thousand cut type offense that kills the Eagles, I would suspect that we would see it. But there might be like an irony in it, because if we're playing these really good teams with really good offenses, they might not want to do those kind of short passes and incremental gains, because they have playmakers that can have more chunk plays and deep and more explosive plays. So
I'm not sure if I completely buy that, because that's exactly what happened every time Jonathan Gannon went up against a really good quarterback. Like, they're like, fine, we'll just throw 10 completions and move down the field 7 yards at a time.
Yeah. But to push back against that, like, Desai's only real matchup against the best offense in the league at the time, he shut them down in Miami. I know
that, to me, that makes it all the more puzzling.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's a big
how
mystery.
How do you do that against Tua and McDaniels, but you can't do it once against Howell and Bieniemy? Like, it just doesn't add up.
Yeah, I mean, McDaniels wasn't, and the Rams weren't doing, the Rams, that was working with Cooper right. Kupp. And then whatever adjustment, it's interesting, because you, as a fan, not knowing, or I'll speak for myself, maybe you research in your free time or something like that, X's and O's, but I see them, like the Rams, picking the defense apart with Cooper Kupp on those short slant routes. And then in the second half, it looks like all I see really at a glance is the Rams aren't running those plays anymore. And so it looks like, oh, well, what's Sean McVay doing? He should just run those plays all game, but you don't always, it's not always abundantly clear how the Eagles defense made adjustments to force the Rams to not call those plays, or call the plays but not have Stafford not go to those guys again. So that's part of the game that is for the coaches and the big analysts and not for me, but that it's interesting. Like, I felt like the Dolphins game, they tried for the explosive plays a lot more often than not. So that obviously helped the Eagles with good coverage.
Yeah. And the only other defensive kind of like theme or note that I have was, coming to the game, the Commanders offensive line was the most sack prone in the league. The Eagles only tally one sack on the day.
That was the closing sack.
Yeah. So that's the strip sack from Reddick. You could argue he should have had one when they called grounding. And but for whatever reason, that didn't count. And yeah, I just remain worried that like quick passes kind of neutralizes this great defensive line. So like, I don't know why every other offensive game plan wouldn't just like start and end there. It looks like the Commanders have a pretty good sense of that. But yeah, the Eagles, they get out alive. They survive on the backs of Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. That duo, I don't know if there's a better one at the moment. Hurts had a great game. AJ Brown makes NFL history with six game of 125 yards or more. So that was nice to see on the other side of the ball.
Let's talk about Jalen's performance. We mentioned briefly, 29 for 38, 319 yards, 4 touchdowns. He got charged with the fumble, but it was really on the snap. I think Jason Kelsey mentioned on the podcast it never got to Jalen. Obviously, the other fumble inside the five was Kenny Gainwell. I think, you know, the stats were really good, but him as a leader and a franchise quarterback, I think really shined in this game. He, you know, I think I saw from watching the game, I didn't really notice, but I saw after the fact, they scored on both drives following the turnovers. I'm not sure if they're all touchdowns, but that's the kind of rhythm, or you know, the kind of leadership that we have in Jalen. They never are out of a game. There was a point I thought to myself, are they gonna? They were down 10, I guess, and I was like, are they gonna? If they give up another touchdown, like are they gonna get like blown out? Is this gonna be like the first loss where they're just kind of really far back and they just never catch up? Obviously that didn't happen, but it was sort of jarring to think that. You could say it's Negadelphia to think that, but it crossed my mind, and it was the first time it was jarring. It was the first time that I thought that in the Hurts Sirianni era of last year and this year. I mean, I probably thought that Jalen's first year when we didn't know what he was yet. So he keeps them in games. The turnovers were really bad. They've been bad all year, and they're still 7-1. And I think a lot of that goes to Jalen. And you know, the previous games he's made, he may have struggled, but he made franchise like quarterback throws that's gotten them into position to win the game. This game, he was great the throughout. That was a complete game from Jalen, and it shows in the box score. I think he was just really impressive, and it was a cool, calm, no big deal to me type of franchise quarterback day, and it's just really really nice to have him. And we haven't had a guy like this since, you know, Donovan, probably. So here's to many more years. And this is just one game in a random week 8 game, where the greatness of Jalen Hurts has shined again. And you know, it wasn't the easiest watch, but it's a game where you have to sit back and appreciate who we have, just like, you know, you appreciate Bryce Harper even though they came up short. He's that type of player and leader, and it was just a game where that showed, and it was just like another game where you can easily take that for granted.
Yeah, no, I echo all that. His pass to AJ Brown near the sideline in the end zone, like the toe tap, putting the ball in the perfect spot, like hell of a play on both the throw and catch. Those two are, you know, top of the league right now as far as both their respective positions and performances, but also the chemistry they have. Like they are they're on another level. And DeVonta Smith, he had another good game. It was finally a time where both the number one and number one A receiver on the team. I'm not sure if we can say that anymore with what AJ Brown's doing. I think DeVonta is at least for the time being relegated to number two until otherwise.
And he
But
almost didn't have that touchdown. I mean, that was a blown coverage. He was wide open, but
yeah, I mean, he was open by a country mile. There was no way within like 20 yards of him.
as opposed to a city mile.
Sure. Yeah, I think through 8 weeks, it's a testament of the talent on the team, how stacked they are that they can make this many mistakes and still being just one very close loss away from being undefeated. Like, they're uber talented and they are still not playing clean football, and they're coming out with the best record in football, almost halfway through the season. That said, you already mentioned this streak that's coming up, this very important game in this season. They need to clean up their football mistakes, the fundamentals, holding on to the ball, holding on to the ball within the opponent's 5-yard line. Like, they've had margin for error, and that margin for error is about to shrink real quick. So, and I'm sure that's what they're preaching. I'm sure that, you know, the standard is being chanted like a mantra every week in that locker room. But, like, they got to go out and execute to an even higher quality for this success to continue with the opponents that they're about to face. So, very impressive so far. They still have stuff to clean up, and that it has been something that we haven't had the chance to not say, because they keep on having like crucial mistakes that they are still able to fly above. But yeah, that margin for error is about to shrink real quick, and they just need to clean it up and continue playing well otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it's red zone offense and turnovers are the two big things. I mean, you could talk about defense and their pass defense and whatever. Pass defense in the Super Bowl where they won was bottom of the league also. So, and they gave up, 33 points. So it's really
Yeah, I
about.
mean, that was against Tom Brady. I'm not
All right.
like, we're talking about Sam
That's a
Howell
good
here.
point.
Let's not compare
Right,
it.
right. But I mean, it, not just Sam Howell throughout the season. So I don't know. It's major glaring deficiencies or issues, I should say. Not because they're not they score points and they do. I mean, they're not the worst in the league in turnovers, but definitely like top of the league in turnovers given up. But those are two things that they won't get the second, third chances to make up from, to your point. So the schedule is something that's pretty interesting to me, at least. The Eagles obviously have their gauntlet, but I just want to go over the Dallas has a stretch and the 49ers have a stretch. I didn't look at the Lions, so that's something whether you believe in the Lions more than the 49ers at this point. We'll have a check-in later in the year on that, I guess. But so the Eagles have their gauntlet. The Cowboys weeks 13 to 17. Home against Seattle, home against the Eagles, at Buffalo, at Miami, home against Detroit. So that's a tough stretch, and that's later in the year. 49ers also have a long stretch, weeks 10 to 18. There's a couple weeks in there where they're not as tough opponents, but they're at Jacksonville week 10. They play Tampa at home week 11, at Seattle, at the Eagles. Home against Seattle, home against Baltimore, and then week 18 they play the Rams at home at the division game. So both the Niners, my point here is both the Niners and the Cowboys have a gauntlet-like stretch, and it's later in the season. So if the Eagles can come out of these next few games with wins, more wins than losses at least, they're set up pretty well towards the end of the year with the two games against the Giants and the Cardinals. So it is a small margin for error for sure, but they're to pull back the lens a bit and look at the NFC as a whole, they do have other te there are other teams that are playing a number of tough games at a less opportune time than the Eagles are. Looking at the Lions actually have a pretty easy schedule. They have the
Yeah,
Saints, the
their
Bears, the
division's not the
Broncos.
toughest,
Right. Saints,
especially with
Bears,
Cousins going out.
Broncos, Vikings, then that Cowboys game in Dallas, and the Vikings again. So,
Yeah, so they got two Vikings games left without having to face Cousins. That's
right.
a fortuitous outcome for them
So
for
the
sure.
Niners sort of week 10 and on have a lot of tougher games. If they fall out of it, the Lions might make a push for a top seed just by ease of schedule alone. So the Lions are definitely a team to look at. I mean, besides those games I listed, they have the Chargers, Bears, and Packers on top of that. So, you know, they really only have that Cowboys game. And the Chargers, if you believe in the Chargers, that's a road game. So, yeah, the Lions are kind of like the Eagles schedule-wise last year, where they have a pretty light schedule. Something to consider for that 6-2 team. Anything else on the Washington game?
No, let's turn the page.
All right. Dak and Co. come to town. Mike McCarthy calling plays this year. They are 5-2. They've beaten the Giants, Jets, Patriots, Chargers, and Rams. They've lost to the Cardinals and the 49ers.
Yeah, so looking at their, looking at like, if you just look at the scores of their season, it has, there haven't been a lot of close games. Like, they blow out the Giants, they blow out the Jets, the Cardinals upset them, they blow out the Patriots, the 49ers blow out them. The Chargers game was close, competitive, then they blow out the Rams. So, their games haven't been, almost all of these have been decisive wins or losses. The Chargers, I think, have been the best foil for them as a competitor so far this
And
year.
Herbert was horrible in that last 2 minutes, too.
Right. But to give them credit, like they came out and they kind of put their they put the their foot on the pedal against the Rams, which, they're a frisky team, and they kind of just said, no, not today. So give them credit for that. That was an impressive win. And like historically, they've really showed up for these Eagles games. Like we know that they are an NFC contender for sure. I still think the mix is probably those three other teams you were just talking about. So, and Dak, give him credit. He's had a lot of success against the Eagles in his career. He has his best games against them, it seems like. And just to go over the matchups, offensively, the Eagles at this point are seventh according to DVOA against the Cowboys' third ranked defense. So strength on strength there. Flipping it, the Cowboys are 17th in DVOA for offense, going up against the Eagles, who are 18th defensively. And I would say that that number fell a good bit after this past week. I do think the Eagles defense is better than that, but that's how the numbers bake that out currently. So kind of we got strength on strength for Eagles offense against Cowboys defense, and then the other side, more of like mediocre Cowboys offense versus Eagles defense. And then special teams wise, both these teams are doing quite well on in that phase of the game. Eagles currently third best in the league, which is awesome to see and equally surprising. And Cowboys historically have been quite good under John Fassel, I believe. And at the moment they're sixth. So a very well-balanced game if we're just looking at the opposing units. Let's start with the Cowboys offense and like how you think the Sean Desai and the Eagles should kind of keep them in check.
Yeah, I saw Tyron Smith is likely out, or is he out?
He is questionable. He currently he missed last game. He was like scratched at the last minute with a stinger, and so far this week he has not practiced with the same stinger. So, you know, that injury is a tough one to predict. It's kind of just like, you know, with nerves, like that's a hard injury to track. But based off of last week when he was expected to play but was scratched, like, I think having the extra week, in my mind, I would expect him to play, but, you know, pencil that in.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, they have an amazing offense. I believe I heard they have trouble running the ball even with Tony Pollard. So if they do become a little one-dimensional like that, I can see the Eagles defense taking advantage.
Yeah, Pollard this year, his first year as like the quote-unquote bell cow or whatever bell cow is nowadays, I consider there's like very few. But he being like the main dude has not been nearly as efficient compared to when he was the change of pace, like the third down back behind Zeke. He's seen a lot more, and his efficiency has gone way down. He hasn't had nearly the amount of explosive plays. Like, if we're looking at it like as a rate. But that's to say, like, he's still like he's a playmaker. He's shifty. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. So like he's very talented, but I think he's certainly not being the lead guy. Maybe that wasn't the best role for him, or maybe he's still dealing with the long term recovery from his bad injury at the end of last year. But I'm still not like writing him off. I think he's still a really good player and somebody that the Eagles will have to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, I think that the whole offense are people they'll have to take into account. Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. Obviously CeeDee Lamb of the three is the big weapon there to worry about.
And they move him around. He's a lot of time in the slot, which, you know, is the Eagles' weakest spot if we're talking about cornerback. Cooks and Gallup have, I think it'd be fair to consider them both disappointments as like secondary and tertiary receivers. Like, I don't think they've been the guys they were expected to be so far on production, on playmaking. So I think CeeDee has had to shoulder a little bit more of that like offensive playmaking weight. That said, I feel like all these guys are due for games, like I mentioned with Pollard. I think Cooks and Gallup, like this feels like a game where it's like suddenly everything will click right against the Eagles. So that's just how things have been to this point from them.
Yeah, I mean, in our lifetimes, they've had Jason Witten. They've had tight ends that have killed us. So Jake Ferguson seems like a random enough guy. I mean, he I think split duties with Dalton Schultz last year. And Schultz is in Houston, I believe. So this is his first
traded personalities.
Sure.
Like, I think they could just be.
But Jake Ferguson's just like the type of guy that's going to have like a touchdown and 80 yards against us and be really frustrating. So
yeah,
the whole offense is solid. They'll have their hands full, but they're by no means like impossible. I mean, they prove that they can contain a defense or an offense in the Dolphins. So I'm confident. But it's definitely a handful.
Yeah, and real quick, let's talk about their offensive line. So left to right, that's Tyron Smith, longtime cowboy, perpetually injured. We don't know if he'll be available. I mean, it'll all depend on what that stinger, where he's at with that on Sunday. Obviously, that there would be a quite the drop off if he's not ready to play. Tyler Smith, left guard. I believe he's thought to be their tackle of the future, but he's a second year player, last year's first round pick. He's a good offensive lineman wherever you put him. He's kind of like their ascending offensive lineman star. Tyler Biadasz, he's fine. Zach Martin, longtime Pro Bowler, like all pro. He's a guy that the Eagles defensive line have had to go up against for the longest time and have little success. He's like their version of Jason Kelce, if Jason Kelce was a guard. And then Terrence Steele, who I think is probably middle of the road, like decent, but nothing spectacular. But altogether, it's a pretty good offensive line, especially going back against the prior offensive lines. Like the Eagles are going up against second and third stringers. This line is pretty good, and they're pretty healthy, considering who they've gone up against and have had not a lot of success against. Like comparing this to the Commanders' offensive line, it's night and day.
It's interesting because we go through the roster every week, but at for Dallas week, it's sort of who knows what'll happen. So the Eagles home game last year, the Eagles basically blew them out for most of the game, and they sort of crawled back into it, the Cowboys did. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for the Eagles defense, but as one of, if not the best D-line group in the league, I think you have to take the advantage in the trenches, at least for to the Eagles. But over the course of a 4 quarters, I think the Eagles D-line will have some success against this O-line, despite how good they've been. On the other side of the ball, there are a number of names that stand out. DeMarcus Lawrence has been there forever, another year older though. I'm not sure how his season's been, but the big highlight on that D-line is obviously Micah Parsons, who the Eagles managed pretty well the last couple games, I think, at least the one in Philly. So that O-line or D-line up front is sort of the big thing to watch. And on the back end there, Stephon Gilmore and Deron Bland, with obviously Trayvon Diggs out for the year, they're two big corner. I don't know how big they are, but they're starting corners. Bland having a good year, I feel like he's a guy that might fly under the radar a bit in this game, but could very well have an interception, something like that, in the game. Jayron Kearse's been there a couple of years. He's a name I recognize, so he must be solid. I watch a ton of Cowboys defense, mostly or pay attention as much when I watch them, but
Yeah, and overall, like Dan Quinn, like
yeah, Dan Quinn's the other element to the whole thing.
a real good defensive coordinator. Not kind of has had a renaissance from his failed stint as a head coach. He's really came back and kind of tailored this defense to become one of the best in the league. Had the chance, I think, to like go and interview as a head coach, but decided to come back and really just be the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. He's done a really fine job of it. And yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons, I think everybody knows how good he is, but like he's like defensive player of the year good. He's up there. He's a handful. He's like crossed over into like the Aaron Donald realm of like your game plan could and probably should singularly revolve around him every given play, like who's covering him, what are we doing with here, what's the game we're playing him here. And interestingly, last year they made the choice to kind of leave him unblocked and make him a player that the quarterback would just read, and they had pretty good success with that last year. Now I think he's another year more experienced in the NFL. He's probably, you know, he's probably looking at that tape every day, so I don't think he can go and like roll that out again. But I do think the Eagles need to approach this with like creativity, and I'm sure Jeff Stoutland, like, you know, there's not a better guy who can game plan a defensive player out of the game. So it'll be, not to like reduce this, but like so much of this is just, you know, the Eagles offensive line, Stoutland, Hurts versus like Micah Parsons, and talk about mistakes. Like this Cowboys defense, they rack up turnovers. They have 4 defensive touchdowns on the year. The Eagles, that's been like the biggest pain point, has been turning over the ball, like being reckless with the ball. The Cowboys are the type of team who will get the most points off of those turnovers. So in a game that I think will be really close, like I don't think there's going to be a big disparity in possessions unless the Eagles are careless. So yeah, I think offensively the work should be cut out for the Eagles. Like I think this is a game where you keep it going with AJ Brown. I think you do trust DeAndre Swift to run the ball, and maybe just him. Like I wouldn't get cute with Kenny Gainwell, unless, like, I feel like there's been a lot of press conference protection with the Gainwell stuff, but, and like that's what Nick is, you know, that's his job. He's coach and he'll defend his players, but I hope behind closed doors are like, this is a game where we can't really do that.
We can't like text at halftime.
Yeah, that's a good call out for sure. It's a close matchup. The Eagles are 3-point favorites at home, so effectively a coin toss. If we're talking about the odds, what is that? I guess, does that feel right to you?
It felt a little tighter than I expected. I thought it would have been like 5, but 3 is a disrespect, so they just got to go out and prove Vegas wrong. As far as injuries go, we mentioned Calcaterra didn't participate at all this week due to the concussion. Bradley Roby has yet to participate with the shoulder. Jordan Davis was limited with the hamstring. I think that was bothering him last week as well. He still played last game. Cam Jurgens has been limited as his 21-day practice window has been activated. Sua Opeta had a hip issue. He was a full participant today. Jack Sill and Milton Williams both limited. Jalen Carter, full participant. So that's...
which is huge. Like that's
big, yeah.
That's a great development. Let's talk about right guard for a second, because there's been a lot of I feel like that this is a big topic for the week, because it seemed like, you know, Cam, he had his window opened, he's not activated yet, but at least I was assuming that he would be the guy slotted back in. Now there were, for the short availability that media has for like the Eagles warm up and initial practice, or, you know, drills or whatever, it was Tyler Steen who was getting some work at right guard. Now Cam Jurgens is like up and about and like stretching, and he was out there and he was dressed, so like he was out there practicing, but it was Steen lining up. So that seems like, if Sua Opeta was full,
I mean, Steen had a good good afternoon. He was in there a couple drives, played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little surprising. Like Sua, he He wasn't a limited participant. He was full. Said, like, at the very least, it seems like Steen has leaped Opetta, which, you know, Opetta was the starter for like the last 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been solid, so Steen leapfrogged him, then must be even better.
Yeah.
But
So
that is
I still think they
interesting.
probably, like, Cam will be ready, but I think there's some uncertainty. What do you think is the likely outcome? Like, who's starting a right guard?
I feel like it'll be Sua as long as his hip is okay, just for consistency's sake. If Cam's going to be limited all week, I don't see why they would rush him back.
Okay. Yeah, something to keep an eye on. I'm hoping it's Cam. But like, I
Yeah,
don't know
it'll
how
be
I'd
interesting.
even, I don't even know. I think there's good arguments for each.
Yeah, it's tough,
Like
but
you
it's
say
funny. It's
Sua,
all
but
this
they're
talk, and
saying
then the
nothing.
first drive of the game is like, oh, it's Cam.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
probably the likeliest
Yeah.
outcome.
So, okay, let's get into predictions.
Yeah, I
You
think
go
it's your
first this
turn.
week.
Oh, my turn. Okay. So I don't know how much you've looked into this or heard about it, but the Cowboys rookie kicker, Brandon Aubrey, he's kind of been a sensation so far this year.
Yeah, you won Special Teams Player of the Week, I believe, for the NFC.
So coming into the game, he has hit his first 18 field goals to start the season and also his career. And if he hits the next one, it'll set the NFL record for most consecutive field goals made to start a career. My prediction is he misses his first field goal. He just ties it.
Wow. I like that.
Let's hope for it.
My first prediction, Hassan Reddick gets 1.5 sacks versus their somewhat banged up O-line.
Yeah, we'll definitely need Reddick. And a win. My next one. So this is me. Like, this is definitely calling one here. But I do think if the Eagles are going to win this close one, like they're definitely going to need something that goes their way in a big way. And what I'm predicting is Britton Covey returns a punt for a touchdown.
Wow, that'll be his first one.
That'll be his first. And can
Yeah.
you tell me the last Eagles? Or the last Eagle to return a punt.
DeSean Jackson?
No, there's been one since then.
Boston Scott?
No, but you can think on it while you do your next one if
Okay.
you want some time.
My second prediction is Byard. And I'm not going to make this prediction every week. This will be the last time. But Byard and Bradbury each get an interception and a big game for the Eagles defense.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
And that I have
we
a
need
tie-in
a
with my third prediction with that one. So don't forget that one. Two interceptions for the Eagles.
yeah, I'm crossing my fingers for a bounce back game for the defense for sure. All right, my third and final one. Sidney Brown gets his first career sack on a slot blitz.
I like that.
You saw the majority of the early downs at slot cornerback, I think, given Roby's lack of practicing, that makes me think we'll see more Sidney Brown.
All right. Kenyon Barner.
No, that's a good guess, though. All
Okay.
right,
I'll keep
I'll give
thinking.
it to you at this point,
Oh, you okay?
unless you want to continue
No, go
guessing.
ahead.
Okay, so it happened against the Packers in a loss in 2020. Would you like one final guess? All right, I need a guess.
Greg Ward.
Oof. Jalen
That was Rager.
Reagor.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. My final guess. I said the Eagles would have two interceptions. My final guess is the Eagles' turnover issues continue and will either tie or surpass the Cowboys in giveaways.
Great. We have at least two turnovers.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a prediction.
So we didn't talk about him, or I don't think we've mentioned his name yet. My player of the game, give me Josh Sweat. I think they'll need the pressure that he continues to put on opposing offensive linemen and quarterbacks. He's racking up the sacks. He's doing awesome in the run game. So I think in a win, we'll definitely need to see at least a big play or two from Josh Sweat. And I think he delivers.
I like that. My player of the game, it's counterintuitive to my predictions of a big defensive game and an offensive struggle. My player of the game will be Jalen Hurts. I think in Dallas, this is boring, I guess, but in Dallas week, you need your best player to be his best. And I think we get that, and that'll instill our confidence in the Super Bowl. Ever more.
Yeah, I don't think you can understate like the lift that this would give a team into a bye before they go on this like march of really tough games. So this could go one of two ways. Like you got a 2.5 game bumper going into this bumpy ride, or you can be skating on thin ice like right from the get-go. And like I'm not like I don't think that puts them in peril, but like
No, you just
suddenly you
it
lose
puts
the
more
reins a
pressure on
little
them.
bit, right? All right. So Eagles, I mentioned it already. They're 3-point home favorites. I have the Eagles scoring 23 to the Cowboys 17. So a relatively low scoring game.
They
Eagles
cover.
cover. But at no point does it feel comfortable. It's a miserable game. It's a tough one to watch. It's one the Eagles pull out. I think Sean Desai, we saw him step up for the Dolphins game. He had a really good game plan. The defense executed it. I think coming off of last week where that was not the case, like I don't see that happening twice in a row. Especially in a very important game, like this team feels like they have the ability to get focused real quick when the moment calls for it. So maybe you call that being a hopeful homer, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, you'd hope after the Phillies ordeal that your team that you put all your faith in, that's very good and has every reason to win, should show up and execute for a big game. So on that in that vein, I have the Eagles also covering, winning by a score of 28-24. So within with beyond a field goal, but within a touchdown,
Yeah,
which
and
you have as well.
we're gonna feel that. I feel like it's gonna like be they're like in the short red zone.
Yeah.
Let's hope they don't get that close.
All right. Well, we'll be back post Dallas week into the bye. Dallas sucks. For Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.